Grace and peace be unto you from the Mayflower Congregational Church on this Father's Day. We welcome you who are joining us online for worship today. I'm Pastor Linda Farmer Lewis, Educational Assistant. I'm substituting for Reverend Mark McCormick, who is celebrating Father's Day with his sons today. Mark, a shout out to you and hello. We miss you and hope you're having a fabulous time celebrating Father's Day this day. And happy Father's Day to all of you who are gathered here today. I'm here today with Deanne McCormick, who is our accompanist and pianist, and celebrating with us today. Also, Marsha and Tom Hacker, who are bringing special music. Our tech guru, Kim Finneson, and Lorraine are here with us as well. My husband, Bill, is with us, and Barb and Jerry Fuller are with us. So we are gathered here in a small group and hoping to join with you as we worship God today. So let us join together where all the places that we are with our prelude. Hear these words of the Apostle Paul. For the cross of Christ is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Therefore, let us take up our cross and find the new life God has for us and for the world in the love and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Oh,
Our Heavenly Father, we adore you, whose name is love, whose nature is compassion, whose presence is joy, whose word is truth, whose spirit is goodness, whose holiness is beauty, whose will is peace, whose service is perfect freedom, and in knowledge of whom stands our eternal life. Be with us who find our life in you, that dying to the world may be alive to you, that in serving you your kingdom may come in fullness to all people, and that the new creation inaugurated in your cross may bring a new heaven and a new earth united in love. Amen.
Today's scripture reading is from the book of Romans, chapter 6, verses 1b through 11. Hear now these words. Should we continue in sin in order that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin go on living in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that we, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be destroyed and we might no longer be enslaved to sin. For whoever has died is freed from sin. But if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Thanks be to God.
New day dawning that belongs.
Thank you. That beautiful music. Hear these words from the Gospel according to Matthew. A disciple is not above the teacher, nor the slave above the master. It is enough for the disciple to be like the teacher and the slave like the master. They have called the master of the house Beelzebul. How much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light. What you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and yet not one of them will fall to the ground unperceived by your Father? And even the hairs of your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are more valuable than many sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I will also deny before my Father in heaven. Do not think I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and one's foes will be members of one's own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. And let us pray. May the words of my mouth and meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. These are tough words from Matthew's gospel, not what we like to hear in our terms of our family affections. We like to feel that we are unified and that we would never betray our brothers or sisters. Matthew continues to offer tough news to the disciples, predictions about persecutions, crosses to take up, and rejection as they go out to spread the good news of the kingdom. Sometimes I like to read Luke and John more. They're more comforting. But Matthew is writing his gospel in a time where these things have already happened and continue to happen as Roman emperor after Roman emperor cracks down on Christians to make scapegoats of his fading power and control. In Matthew's gospel, Jesus urges us to have the gospel and its cause above all other human loyalties, above nation, above family, even above ourselves. Jesus outlines for us a lost and found life, a life of sacrifice for the good news and gain for the kingdom's sake. The philosopher theologian Soren Kierkegaard put it this way: either pick up your cross or surrender to idolatry and despair. The cross, you see, becomes an antidote for the toxic lack of priorities that gives ultimate significant things that are not worthy and cannot hold it. Even family does not trump the gospel. Matthew tells us to put Christ above our highest loyalty because only love and grace of Jesus can leave our own personal human love unalloyed. We found life in the Jesus that transforms our lost life outside of his grace. Or as Joni Mitchell put it in her song Both Sides Now, something's lost and something's gained in living every day. The sharp sword of decision to endure persecution for that ultimate significance is softened in this passage by the assurance that God sees us, sees all that we endure for his sake, and holds our life. Even a sparrow will not fall to the earth without God receiving it. God completely knows us, even to the point of numbering the hairs on our head, and holds us in God's own care and embrace every second of our lives. So we can take up our cross with confidence, our true life in the love of God, when we lose the idolatry that enslaves us, to find the cross that frees us to love and live truly. A found life, as the hymn Amazing Grace says, I once was lost, and now I'm found. Found in a powerful grace and freed in it, that grace comes from picking up our cross and living a cross-shaped life as a disciple of Jesus, the cruciform life of God. This led me to think about ways, large and small, that we make daily sacrifices for the true life that we really want to live. Maybe we don't endure persecutions in this time, although serving the gospel will always come at some cost. But in terms of the daily cost of parental love, for instance, we see something of that cruciform life that mirrors the life of God, especially today as we celebrate Father's Day. We think about the ways that fathers sacrifice to provide and support their families. What is a father's love? In our sometimes confining stereotypes of the roles of male and female, dad's spheres can sometimes be relegated to the world of work and the child rearing left to the mother, which makes proximity to the child and that bond sometimes difficult to maintain. And the pressures in our culture for providing for a family are so demanding. Not everyone had a Leave It to Beaver dad. The truth is, nobody did. That was some idealized version of fatherhood impossible to live up to. Some never had a father at all growing up, but can point to those people who stood in for that role for them in some really important ways. Some have never had any even that guiding help. Some have been blessed with wonderful, loving fathers, but really don't understand what it takes to be a dad until they become fathers themselves. As Mark Twain penned, when I was 17, my father was the stupidest man I'd ever met. When I turned 25, I was amazed how much the old man had learned. A friend of mine, when he became quite depressed after becoming a father, was ashamed to admit this feeling. He couldn't quite identify why he felt that way. He finally confessed this to a friend who was a father about his struggle, and his friend said, "Well, of course you're depressed. Now the world has a hostage." Our own suffering we can bear, but not the suffering of our children. But to live for others is to open ourselves to love's other side, which is suffering. Robert Hayden, one of my favorite poets, wrote a poem called Sunday Mornings about his own father. Sundays, too, my father got up early and put his clothes on in the blue-black cold. Then with racked hands that ached from labor in the weekday weather made bank fires blaze. No one ever thanked him. I'd wake and hear the cold splintering, breaking. When the rooms were warm, he'd call, and slowly I would rise and dress, fearing the chronic angers of that house, speaking indifferently to him who had driven out the cold and polished my good shoes as well. What did I know? What did I know of love's austere and lonely offices? Love's lonely and austere offices, the lost and found life, the sacrifice of a selfish, me-centered life to embrace an other-centered life, the loss of the pursuit of personal pleasure to polish a child's Sunday shoes. A cruciform life has found something larger in that self-sacrifice, a new sense of self and integrity, a giving, a larger version of life. I was talking this weekend with a father anticipating a wedding I performed, and he told me that he and his son have this running bit. They banter back and forth since the child was small. And the son would ask his dad a question, and he would answer it, and his son would ask him, "How do you know that?" And his father would answer him, "It's on the test." "What test?" "The dad test. You see, before they let you become a dad, you have to take this test, which you have to pass in order to be a dad. So over the years, whenever his son would ask him a question, he answered, his son would ask, "Is that on the dad test?" Of course, his father would reply. "What if you really don't know the answer?" his son asked. Dad replied, "I tell you to go ask your mother, she'll know." Love's austere and lonely offices, the lost and found life, picking up your cross of love's sacrifice is to enter another realm, another kingdom, the kingdom of God, a world understood and lived in submission to a larger vision of what it means to be human, to be a giver, not a consumer of life, is to understand that Christ already fills all things with grace and power. In him we already have all we need. And it is in Christ that subjects all things to that powerful grace, rendering everything else powerless before it, in order that love can fill us and our mortal span with eternal significance, a kingdom. To find our life in God is to be found. To occupy love's lonely and austere offices is to find ourselves in an integrity of self-transcendence. It gives us a bigger and better view of what is truly real and who we truly are. To pick up our daily mundane crosses of everyday effort to foster life is to discover and find a real life that is worth everything. A folk song I love tells the story of a lock keeper who manned the locks in a seaway where the seas navigate through from their voyages, bringing their cargo of teas and spices to port. While they wait for the water to equalize, the brash sea captain chides the lock keeper each time he meets him with how boring and meaningless his landlubber life is compared to his own high seas adventures. The lock keeper listens patiently to the captain boast of freedoms compared to lockkeeper's captivity of being stuck on the seaway. But he sees their relative lives quite differently. Listen to what he says about the lost and found life, of love's austere and lonely offices, of what it takes to pass the test of being a dad, of what it means to turn from idolatry and despair and pick up our cross for love's sake, for the sake of the life that really is life, and to finally know our true home, the lock keeper.
Sweep her in your arms and carry her. I should have you, the star.
Now go in peace. Search for the lost and found life and take up your cross and do not surrender to idolatry and despair, but choose a kingdom where your heavenly Father knows every hair on your head and goes with you in all things. Peace. Amen.
It's always a long 15 seconds.